Hey, Grace Live, Pastor Matt here. Today we're continuing our study on the book of Jonah by looking at Jonah chapter 3 and 4. When we left off with our study last week, we saw Jonah being vomited out from the great fish that had swallowed him. It's not a great day for Jonah. I don't know about you, but I have never been thrown up by a fish. Nor do I ever care to experience what Jonah experienced in this story. As we'll see in Jonah chapter 3 and 4, they parallel what takes place in chapter 1 and 2. Jonah is a prophet from God. God had given him specific instructions to go to the great city of Nineveh to proclaim to them that God is going to destroy them. Jonah instead disobeys God's command and flees as far west as he could possibly go from the presence of the Lord. Now, he is back to where he needs to be. He has been thrown up by the fish, and God is going to use him to accomplish something pretty great in the lives of the people of Nineveh. Let's read chapters 3 and 4, and then we'll work through these two chapters and how they apply to us today. Jonah chapter 3 and 4. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. He issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would happen to the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, so that it withered. When the sun rose and God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Jonah chapter 3 and 4 can be summarized in one sentence. the gospel of Jesus Christ freely delivered to us is to be taken to people lost in their sin and in desperate need of God's grace. What we know from Scripture is that God is a missionary God. God goes out to proclaim his glory to the nations, and he invites us, commands us to go and take the message of the gospel to even the most vilest of sinners. We were the same before Christ delivered us from our sin. Jonah is a prophet, and God has called him to go to Nineveh to proclaim not a message of hope, but a message of destruction. The wicked people of Nineveh will be destroyed for their sin. Now, as we looked at last week, Nineveh was a great city. It's a very wicked city. This city is very cultural, very extravagant. It has everything in entertainment. It has money. It has prosperity. From a worldly perspective, it looks great, but it is very wicked. The city is pretty great. What we see from the text is that it takes about 3 days to walk the entire city. Jonah goes into the city after being thrown up from the well. Now, we're not sure where the well vomited him up from. There's not a great body of water close by, so it's not like the fish spit him up like within at the front door of the city of Nineveh. Wherever the fish vomited Jonah, Jonah then heads to Nineveh. And he obeys God. Now, as I read the text, Jonah does what is required, but it appears and it feels like Jonah puts a half-hearted effort into this. We see the city of Nineveh is a 3 days walking journey, and it's clear from the early portions of chapter 3 that Jonah spends just 1 day going about telling people that God is going to destroy them. At this point, after we see Jonah take that day and leave, the focus comes in on the people of Nineveh. What is their response going to be when they hear that God is going to destroy them? Well, the response is repentance. They repent. They put on sackcloth. They sit in ashes, which is a sign of remorse, a sign of mourning for what they have done against God. The news makes its way all the way up to the king, who puts out a citywide decree that everybody cry out to God for salvation. And their cry doesn't come from hope. The king even says, who knows? Maybe God will relent from his anger towards us. The people of Nineveh rightfully deserve to face the punishment that God was going to give them. As sinners, we deserve the punishment that we deserve for our sins. That punishment we know is eternal life in hell. But the message of the gospel brings us hope, and those who repent will be saved. As we get to chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, we see Jonah. The story picks back up with him. Jonah has left the city, but he hasn't gone too far. He was really quick to not go to Nineveh, but he was very slow to leave. As I read the text, it appears to me that Jonah spends a day in Nineveh and goes to the outside of the city, and he sits there and waits to see what's going to happen to it. Jonah probably waits those 40 days to see what God's going to do. Jonah hated these people. These people likely murdered his family members. Friends, they were vile towards God's people. He hated them. Vehemently hated them. And he wants to see God light them up like fireworks on the 4th of July. So he sits out and he waits. While he's on the outside of the city waiting to see what happens, the people inside the city are waiting to see what happens. What will God do in this moment? Well, day 40 comes and goes, and the people of Nineveh survive because God saw their repentance and changed his mind. He relented from his wrath towards them because they repented of their sin. Jonah's response, he is angry. He wanted these people to die. And it even tells us in verse 3 of chapter 4 that the reason Jonah ran away from God's command to go to Nineveh is because he knew that God was a God of compassion and mercy and slow to anger. He knew that God was going to forgive these people. And he didn't want God to forgive these people. So he ran away. If nobody tells them about God, maybe God will destroy them. But Jonah is angry. He's angry with God. He's angry enough to die. He would rather die than see these people come to know the God that he knows. See, Jonah knows who God is, but he doesn't love who God is. He doesn't love that God is compassionate and gracious. He wants it all for himself. He doesn't think wicked people deserve it. Jonah has forgotten that he once was a wicked person who needed God's favor in his life, God's salvation in his life. As Jonah waits, we see that God provides a plant to bring him shade, and he enjoys it. Then God sends a worm to destroy the plant. And then God sends a scorching, heated wind that Jonah is in an unbearable, uncomfortable position. And he's mad. And God asks him the question, do you have a right to be angry? And Jonah says, yes, I have very much have a right to be angry. And God closes out this chapter by looking Jonah in the eye and saying, you didn't do anything for the plant. You didn't deserve that plant. And you're more mad about it than that the people of Nineveh are dying in their sin. See, Jonah was more concerned about his comfort than people coming to salvation in God. And God calls him out for his lack of compassion towards sinners. As we apply this text to our lives today, are you more concerned about God's gifts of grace and his gifts of comfort to you than you are concerned about God's saving grace going to sinners around you? Are you more concerned about the comforts of your life than sinners coming to Christ? See, chapter 4 should encourage us and motivate us to go to the ends of the earth, to obey God's command, to go and proclaim the message of the gospel, because God desires to save sinners and bring them to himself. Jonah did not have a heart that reflected God's heart. What about our hearts? Do they reflect God's heart and compassion towards sinners? Have we forgotten the grace that Christ has shown us? As you discuss these two chapters in your life groups, I want you to think and I want you to talk about how you can proclaim the gospel to the people around you. God is calling you. He has commanded you to go and proclaim the message of salvation. Jonah's message, it didn't contain hope. Our message does. Because we know that Jesus came to save sinners like you and me. And he did so by dying on the cross for us. And as we look next week to Jesus' words in the book of Matthew, we'll see that the book of Jonah is truly a picture of what Jesus has done for us. He came to proclaim a message of repentance. And those who repent of their sin will be forgiven.